It thinks I'm short. Yo, for years there have been television shows that dramatize life and death rescues and emergency life saving. You know, when I was a kid, there was a show called Emergency. Some of you might remember that. It was mainly about these two EMTs who worked with the Los Angeles Fire Department. I mean, as first responders, they would be called out to accident victims and would use life-saving techniques in an attempt to rescue people. I mean, the program ER was very similar to that. I mean, if you ever watched that show, you know that it usually begins with a bang. I mean, someone is being wheeled into the ER, the music, it starts to surge, the camera angles increases, and typically in the first few seconds, the doctors and nurses, they are looking for some kind of response. I mean, whether it's consciousness, a pulse, BP, reflexes, breathing, and so on. And everyone is shouting out the particular response they are getting from the patient. And in a situation like that, the type of response is critical because it could really mean the difference between life and death. You see, the doctors have to see how the patient is responding, and then they, in turn, have to respond to the patient's needs. I mean, think about the different responses you have had when the subject of Jesus have come up with family or with friends or with someone from work. You know, several years ago, I was traveling with a children's home that I was working for, and we spent some time in Illinois. And one night, we were grilling out on the patio of the place where I was staying, and Stacy, she had invited some of her neighbor friends over for dinner. I mean, it was a pretty diverse group. All of them were unchurched. Among the group was one guy that was struggling with alcoholism. Another person there was... they were involved in a homosexual lifestyle. And another was probably about as far from God as you could be. Now, they all knew that I was a preacher, but the subject of Jesus came up, and the response was very interesting. I mean, they just started asking questions about Jesus. I mean, what he meant when he said certain things, why he did the things that he did. I mean, it was very non-threatening, yet there was still a great curiosity in everyone sitting there. You know, since the day he walked this earth, people have always been curious about Jesus and have responded to him in different ways. I mean, listen to this description by John. There was a lot of discussion about him among the crowds. Some said he's a wonderful man, while others said he's nothing but a fraud, deceiving the people. But no one had the courage to speak favorably about him in public, for they were afraid of getting in trouble with the Jewish leaders. Now, there is the word wonderful, then there's fraud, and then there's afraid. See, just within that short passage, we see three responses to Jesus. I mean, some said he was wonderful. Some called him a fraud. And some were afraid to even talk about him at all. Now, hopefully, all of us have taken the time to write a name of a person on one of these who's-its here that is far from God, and you are praying for that person. But if the subject of Jesus were to come up with this person, how might they respond? You know, for the last few weeks, we've been in the series from the book of Acts called You Will Be My Witnesses. And today, from chapter 5, we're going to look at the different ways that people might respond to the gospel. Now, hopefully, this will help each of us in our attempt to share the hope of Jesus with the world that is around us. I mean, that is what this year we have a theme of Choose Jesus 16. I mean, that's what we want to choose Jesus in 16 ourselves, but we also want others who are far off, who do not know him, to choose him as well. I mean, go ahead and find Acts chapter 5 in your Bibles. It's page 773 in the Bibles that are provided. But also grab the outline in your bulletin as well. Now, within this chapter, we find at least six responses to Jesus. But then we find what our one response should be to any of those reactions. The first response we find is that of partial commitment. Partial commitment. Let me just do a quick overview of verse 1 through 11 and the story of Ananias and Sapphira. See, in the end of chapter 4, you can see that the Christians, they started selling their real estate and giving the money to the church so that the needy could be taken care of. Well, Ananias and Sapphira, they apparently wanted to look good in everyone's eyes, so they sold a piece of property, but only pretended to give all of the money to the apostles. They kept back some for themselves. Now, when they lied about it to Peter, and then Peter confronted them in their sin, they dropped dead. You see, the response of Ananias and Sapphira was that they had a partial commitment to Jesus. You know, preacher Vance Habner, he once said, a halfway Christian works both sides of the street. He is religious because it helps him in business and gives him a self-righteous satisfaction. But he has no intention of making Jesus Lord of his life. Yet our Lord said he would rather a man be cold, utterly without profession to be a Christian, rather than medium or lukewarm, moderate. You know, we have a database in the church office for some time now. It's called Servant Keeper. I mean, it has a great deal of potential and application for the ministry. Basically, we can keep track of the church much more effectively, especially as the church grows. And as I said, we've had this database for a good while, and we made the commitment to bring that program up to speed. And I was looking at Servant Keeper and some statistics for the last 2 years. Here's what I found about the active member families. You know, during 2015, an average of 53% of our active members were here on any given Sunday. And since January the 1st of this year, 56% of our active families are in church on any given Sunday. Now, it's wonderful that that we are going up in those areas. But how well would your company do if only 56% of the employees showed up for work? Or how great would it be if the engine of your car functioned only 56%? Well, let me break this down a little bit more for the month of April. What we found that is 31% of our active members had perfect attendance for the month of April. 19% missed one Sunday. 11% missed two Sundays. 9% missed three Sundays. And 24% of our active members missed all four Sundays in April. And what that means is that 63% of our active members were not here for half the month of April. Now, church attendance is not always the indicator of spiritual maturity. But ask yourself this question. What is the level of my commitment to Christ on a scale of 1 to 10? You know, Jesus told the church in Laodicea, he said, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other, but since you are like lukewarm water, I will spit you out of my mouth. See, that is partial commitment. Well, the next three responses to Jesus are in verses 12 through 16. Look at verse 12. It says, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Now, as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. See, the second response is that of fear. You know, notice verse 13, it says, no one else dared join them. See, God was doing some pretty miraculous things in the church, and so some people were kind of freaked out by that and were afraid to get involved. But there are still folks like that today. I mean, they might be afraid of being called a Bible thumper or a weak-minded Christian relying on a religious crutch. See, Jesus faced that. You know, John tells us in his gospel, John chapter 12, verse 41, he says, many people, including some of the Jewish leaders, believed in him, but they wouldn't admit to it to anyone because of their fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than they praised God. See, sometimes the response of Jesus is going to be fear. Now, here's a third response to the name of Jesus in a high regard. Again, verse 13 says, no one else dared join them. But the second half of that verse says, even though they were highly regarded by the people. I mean, how does our community regard this church? I mean, what is it that people say about Reinhardt Christian Church? I mean, really, do they even know that we exist? But what is our reputation? You know, reputation's a funny thing, isn't it? You know, a preacher by the name of Rick Eschbaugh, he tells of how his wife was busy one evening pursuing one of her hobbies of making porcelain dolls at a doll-making class, leaving him at home to watch their two children, Melinda, age 7, and Craig, age 5. Now, while he was talking with the neighbor on the front porch, Rick said the phone rang. He was really proud to hear his son answer the phone promptly and politely. But he said his pride soon vanished. Apparently, the caller asked to speak to Rick's wife, and little Craig said, no, my mom's not here. She's out making a baby. But my dad's here if you'd like to talk to him. Eschbach said, naturally, the phone call was from one of the elders of the church. You know, do we even have a reputation in this community? I mean, as a church, we need to remember the words of Proverbs 22, where it says, choose a good reputation over great riches, for being held in high esteem is better than having silver and gold. Now, a fourth response found in verses 12 through 16 is that of magnetism. You know, verse 14 says that more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Now, Luke goes on to tell us how all the sick people were brought to the apostles and healed. You see, sometimes the response of Jesus is also is almost magnetic. I mean, you hardly have to say anything and people are just drawn to him. I mean, it's like that scene in Spider-Man 2 where this magnetic field has been created and everything's just flying into it. Or that scene in the X-Men 2 where Magneto can magnetically draw things to himself. Yeah, I remember hearing Bob Russell at Southeast Christian Church tell the story of when they were building their second building, church building, and a huge cross was designed for the top. They brought in this massive crane to lift that cross up on top of the building, and they did. And as they did, the workers all came out and started watching. I mean, some of the church members had gathered in the parking lot to see it happen. And even people on the four-lane road began stopping their cars to watch this cross being lifted into place. Bob said as he stood there, he thought of that verse where Jesus says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto myself." You see, sometimes the response is magnetic, but also, unfortunately, sometimes it is negative. See, with all the people joining the church and getting healed, news of this spread. See, look now through, though, at verse 17. It says, then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. See, they didn't care for what was going on at all. So Luke tells us that they had the apostles thrown into jail. Well, this angel of God, he delivers them during the night, and he tells them to go back into the temple and keep on preaching the message of this new life. And the next morning, the religious leaders, they're all puzzled as to how they got out. So they bring the apostles back in front of the Sanhedrin, and Peter and the others use that opportunity to talk about Jesus even more. Drop down to their reaction in verse 33. It says, when they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. And by the way, the only other place where the word furious occurs in the entire Bible is two chapters later when the Sanhedrin was so ticked off at Stephen for being a courageous follower of Christ, they had him put to death. So you start talking about Jesus and the convictions of his teachings, and people, they sometimes get angry. You know, a few years ago, Tim Liston, who is the preacher at New Hope Church in Pearland, Texas, he was preaching a series of sermons about morality. And one of the sermons was going to be on the Christian's response to homosexuality. I guess word got out about the topic, and they began receiving threats of demonstration from the homosexual community, and so they had to actually beef up their security that weekend of all their services. See, Jesus said, "Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man." See, some people are just not going to react favorably to the gospel. Well, here's one more response, and it is probably the most dangerous and the most prevalent in our society, and that is indifference. You see, the Sanhedrin is fuming about all of this Jesus talk, but a guy named Dr. Gamaliel, a very respected Pharisee, he stands up and he says to the apostles, hey, can you guys just excuse us for a minute? And the apostles, they're put outside. And Dr. Gamaliel, he tells about two incidences where these rebel leaders, they raised up some followers, but it eventually came to nothing. He then makes this commitment, or comment. He says, look, if all this Jesus stuff is of human origin, it's going to fail. But if it is really from God, you're not going to be able to stop these men. In fact, you'll be actually fighting against God. And the words he uses is themomachus, which means a God fighter. You see, basically, Gamaliel makes the decision to make no decision. I mean, here is one of the most highly respected men in Israel. He had the equivalency of a doctorate degree. 18 years later, when Gamaliel passed away, the Jews said this of him. Hey, when Rabban Gamaliel the elder died, the glory of the law ceased, and purity and abstinence died. See, this man was extremely revered, not to mention that he was actually the teacher of the Apostle Paul when Paul was still a Pharisee. Now, while his words did save the lives of the apostles and may even sound very wise, the fact is he was really being indifferent to this whole thing. You see, the sad part is Christianity, it flourished over the remaining years of his life. But as far as we know, Gamaliel never turned his life over to Jesus. He never accepted and embraced him as the Messiah. He just stayed indifferent. You know, on January the 15th, 1919, in Boston, Massachusetts, an enormous steel vat containing 2.3 million gallons of hot molasses burst. I mean, hot, sticky waves of syrup, 30 feet tall, destroyed buildings, crushed freight cars, wagons, automobiles, and drowned people. I mean, one author called it the Dark Tide. I mean, 21 people were killed and 150 were injured. Now, this enormous tank, 50 foot high and 240 foot around, had been poorly designed. I mean, company officials, they reacted to the constant leaks by repainting the tank to match the leaks of the molasses. I mean, out of sight, out of mind. They were indifferent. They knew that the molasses vat was dangerous, but didn't do anything about it. You know, the book of Hebrews says, what makes us think that we can escape if we are indifferent to this great salvation that was announced by the Lord Jesus himself? You know, as I said, the response of indifference is probably the most prevalent and most dangerous in our society. See, a lot of people have the attitudes, I'm morally a good person. My needs are met. I believe in God, but I don't need all this Bible stuff. You know, Blaise Pascal, he said this. He said, there are only three types of people. Those who have found God and serve him, those who have not found God and seek him, and those who live not seeking or finding him. The first are rational and happy, the second unhappy and rational, and the third foolish and unhappy. Well, very quickly, how does this story end? Fortunately, the Sanhedrin, they listen to the advice of Gamaliel, that they bring in the apostles and they have them whipped, and they ordered them to stop speaking about Jesus. But look at the outcome in verses 41 and 42. It says, the apostles, they left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Now, I want you to write this down. Our response, no matter what, should be to rejoice and keep sharing. You know, when I was still a youth minister, we would often take the kids into the nearby subdivisions on Sunday night and collect canned goods and clothing for the food pantry of the town. One night, we had dropped off kids all over the subdivision, and then we circled around, and we began picking them up group by group. Now, one of the guys in the group at that time was a kid named Justin. And when we pulled up to his group, Justin jumped into the van. He was all excited. He said, "Hey, we were persecuted, Ricky. We were persecuted." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "When the people opened the door and we told them who we were and asked them for canned goods for the food pantry ministry, they slammed the door in our face. We were persecuted for the cause of Christ." Now, I didn't have the heart to tell him that he wasn't being persecuted. That was just somebody being rude. But when a family member or a friend rejects your belief, it is hard to rejoice, isn't it? But don't let that stop you from sharing. Because that is what we are called to be. Be His witnesses. Jesus' witnesses. Let's pray. Father, you know, we sit here and we praise Your name and we come into Your presence, Father. And we just rejoice because You created us and You saved us through Jesus Christ and His love. But Father, as we see in the New Testament church, Father, that we couldn't just talk about it and keep it to ourselves. We need to go out and be witnesses. And Father, as we know, you know, there's going to be different responses to Jesus. Some that are good, some that are not, but whatever they are, we need to keep spreading the good news of Jesus. And I pray for everyone in this room today that we just have a zeal of the knowing that You loved us so much that You gave us Jesus, that we can't keep it to ourselves. And Father, I thank You for that love. And I thank You for Jesus. But use me. Use me to share it, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.